Hi, good evening, everyone. Thanks all for coming out tonight. So I'm just going to start off with my testimony. I was born and raised in a Christian family, thank the Lord. And I was raised in this church, and I've been here my entire life. I started out as a little kid in Sunday morning meetings, just not really paying attention, I guess, kind of sleeping on my mom's shoulder when I was a kid. And then further through Sunday school, I learned more and more about my Savior, Jesus. And one day I was talking to my mom in her room, and I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. So now I've been here at Claremont my whole life, going to Sunday school, Awana's, Boys Brigade as much as I can, and I've grown quite a lot. I wish I could have said I've grown more, but so now I've been trying to attend a lot of the meetings here, Awana's and Brigades and prayer meeting, but my busy schedule at high school, through whether it be sports or homework, I've been constricted from a lot of these meetings, unfortunately. Hopefully in the summer I can come out more now, along with college coming up this next year. I pray that I would just grow more and more as I have been these years. So if you could all turn to Mark chapter 10. I chose this section to talk a little bit about because we have been going through the book of Mark in our Monday night youth Bible studies. And then this past couple weeks, we've been in chapter 10. And 2 weeks ago, I came back and we were talking about the rich young ruler. So as we read through it in Bible study, I made a few connections that I hadn't really realized or thought about before then. So this is what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to go ahead and read through the whole section of the rich young ruler and then go from there. Verse 17, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about him, and saith unto his disciples, 'How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?' And the disciples were astonished at these words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, 'Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.' And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, 'Who then can be saved?' And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, 'With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible.' Then Peter began to say unto him, 'Lo, we have left all and have followed thee.' And Jesus answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold in his time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first.'" Now, at this time, Jesus had just left Galilee for the last time. He was making his final journey back to Jerusalem, to the cross. And at this point, he had quite the crowd with him, a very large number of disciples. He traveled through the coasts of the Jordan in Judea, and on the road, this rich young ruler runs to him. So in verse 17, this ruler runs to him, and it says, and kneels at him and asks him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now, at that very first saying, "Good master," he's saying that Jesus is good, knowing that God is the only good one, and therefore making the connection that Jesus is God, one and the same. And this acknowledgement of who God is, I believe, is one of the first steps of coming to salvation. You have to realize who God is in his power and his holiness, and realize who he is and what he is and his power. And then in verse 21, it says, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him." And I just thought that little part alone was amazing, that Jesus, a complete stranger, runs up to him, and he says one thing to him, and he automatically, he loves him, without questioning very much, without knowing much about him. And I think that's one of the amazing aspects of Christ, his unconditional love for us. Now, it says, "One thing thou lackest." Earlier, as we read in verse 19, as a response to the rich ruler's question, he told him that he must keep the commandments, which is what God asked us to do. That now, acknowledgement of God, understanding who he is and his righteousness, is the first step, I believe. And then the second step is to keep all of his commandments as much as possible. So I feel you follow these steps. And then the third, he says here, and then Jesus says, "Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor." Now, Jesus knows, as he does all things, that this man was very rich, and he cared a lot about his possessions and his wealth. And I think this is why Jesus gave him this commandment. Jesus doesn't want us to have any idols in our lives. And he wants us to put him before everything else. He wants us to pick up the cross and follow him, and leave our idols behind, whether it be our money or our possessions, our school or our work or our family. He knows that these things are taking up our time and getting in the way of having a closer walk with him. It's important for us to set them aside and make Jesus our priority, and making our walk with him and our relationship and spending time with him more important than anything else. Now, I don't think this necessarily means that we must just completely forget about all of these things, such as work or family, because God says that that's very important to us. But it means that we need to dedicate more of our time away from these things toward Christ and toward reading the Bible. We need to put our idols behind the Lord and make them less important. And we need to make reading the Bible and attending all of the church meetings and fellowshipping and prayer more important than all of these things. And this verse goes on to say that if we do give up these things, then and put Christ above and ahead of all of these, then he shall reward us back with them 100-fold, whether it be on earth or in heaven. Now, as back to the Monday night meeting, as we were reading through, I was reminded of another story similar to this. If we could turn back to Mark chapter 1. Mark 1, verse 16. Now, as he walked by the Sea of the Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Now, as we read, he saw them fishing in the Sea of Galilee. He called unto them, and he told them to follow him and make him their priority, to make him more important than what they were doing at that very moment, than everything else that they had built up in their lives to that point. I saw this similar to the other story of the young ruler and how he tells them to give up essentially their entire lives to come and follow Jesus. And whether it's like Simon and Andrew with their work and their families and or with this young ruler and all of his possessions. He tells the disciples that when they do follow him, he will make them fishers of men, rewarding them with the gift that they were giving up, essentially. And just as with the ruler, how he says, give up all of your possessions and give it to the poor and then come follow me, and then I will give you treasures in heaven. So I was thinking as we read it through in the Bible study how if we do give up what we have for Christ, then he will give it right back after we have worked for him, whether it be in earth and he rewards us greatly with talents or a nice job because of our dedication to him, or whether it be in heaven with crowns and gems. And So in verse 30, it says, you shall receive 100-fold now of these things, and eternal life as well. So not only are we giving up everything we have just to follow him, but he is giving it right back 100 times what we have given up, whether it be on earth or in heaven. And I just hope that was all I have, and I hope that this was as encouraging to all of you as it was to me. Thank you very much.
All right, Scott. Well, he's a sharp dresser, I'll tell you that. You should have mentioned that you prepared the map here for the edification of the saints. As you can see, we've got the River Jordan. We've got the River Jordan. Just over behind those trees is Jericho, where that this time the Lord is heading. And this pretty much shows you Mount Hermon. Maybe Hermon. Definitely not Carmel, but maybe Hebron. But to return to the chapter that Scott opened for us, I'll tell you what, today's Father's Day, and I didn't even realize it until this afternoon that Father and Son are speaking on Father's Day. I didn't even think about it, because I really don't think much about Father's Day too much. Every day's Father's Day in our family, every day, right? Yeah. But I'll tell you what, Lauren and I feel so blessed. All four of our children are here today. All four of them. Trusted in the Lord in their youth. They've all been baptized. They're all, in one way or the other, going on for the Lord. They're all serving in one capacity or another. The assembly and at camp and other places as well. And Lauren and I feel extremely blessed. It is 99% Lauren. No, it's 99% the Lord, 1% Lauren, and I have virtually nothing to do with how they're turning out. But we're very happy, very blessed. All right, as Scott brought to you, the Lord was traveling, and at this point in the Lord's life, in his ministry, he is entering the very, very last days of his ministry. 3 years from the time that John announces to the people of Israel, "Behold the Lamb of God." John himself says, "I am but the voice crying in the wilderness."